Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, Bruce, and hello, listeners. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you, sir. How are you feeling?
Feeling great. It's been a good weekend, other than our football festivities yesterday with the Cowboys.
Yes, not so good there.
Three in a row, but, you know, outside of that, it's been a good weekend. Enjoying the nice, crisp fall breeze here in Southern California. We don't really get seasons, but we do get a bit of temperature change, maybe, 10, 15 degrees here and there. So Right. We're finally in what feels like fall, which I actually love out here. So probably my favorite season is fall, both in Texas and in California, for that matter.
Yeah. I was out there, 2 weekends ago and had a good time and got a little taste of the downward temperature. So always nice to get out there and visit, and actually went to Galveston this last weekend. I know it's a far cry from the beaches you guys have, but nonetheless,
it's a beach nonetheless. Yeah.
It was water. Yeah. Water and sand, two big ingredients, but had some good seafood down there, man. That's some good whitefish in season, and flounder, man, pretty good. So had a good time eating some seafood and actually doing some work down there. So good to get back to my people. That's where I was raised, was in Houston. So started in South Houston and made the flight up to North Houston there. So it's always a pleasure to touch base with the home team.
There you go. Yeah. You're all your people. There you go. Go ahead.
I was going to say, no, it'll be, we're going to have quite the accent fest here today.
I think between you and Christy, you'll have your own dialect that you could start.
That's right. You'll win the Kansas Accent Award by show end. So you'll be the least accent. But anyway, so yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, we had some family in town for at the end of last week from Chicago. And then a 60th birthday party that we celebrated. So I actually got to spend quite a bit of the week with family, which was nice. Naomi's family, that is. And it was a really great week business-wise, from a personal perspective. We're rocking and rolling, and things are going well. So no complaints over here. It seems like, after the rush of summer, and I think August in particular tends to be, the first real summer month that people sort of crank up the heat on business. And then, by the time you're after Labor Day now in October, things are rolling. People are rolling through the end of the year. So, or at least through Thanksgiving holiday, I should say.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. So you get the movement there before Thanksgiving. Are you going to do Thanksgiving? You know where you're going to do it? You're going to stay out there? You're going to come this way?
I think we're out here. So we try to alternate holidays. So I think we're going to be out here because we were out there for Christmas, all that last year. So,
ooh, that's interesting rotation. You don't alternate years, but holidays.
Holidays, yeah.
Ooh, that's more moving parts.
Yeah, it's a lot of moving parts.
Brother,
I don't know. It's a lot of families to see, though. But
it is. I know you've always, you're going from place to place to place and on the move. So, but that's what it's all about, right?
That's right. It's all about family.
About family.
And, I'm excited. I'm excited for our show and for our guest today. I know you met Christy, you know, and she's actually located out by me, but I'm excited to hear from her today.
Yes, yes, folks. We have Christy Overstreet with us, and she's a coach in private practice that has several very interesting aspects to her coaching practice, and we're going to can't wait to bring her on and have her tell us about her stuff. So without further ado, Christy, how's it going? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, y'all. Thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here with y'all.
Okay, so you made it to the West Coast by way of Georgia. So you said you've been out in California now for about 3 years or so?
Yeah, about to celebrate 3 years now, and it's went by really fast.
Well, that's great. I always get so much vicarious pleasure for people who, you know, move a bazillion miles mm-hmm. to Southern California and get there and actually love it and hang in there. So that makes me happy to hear that. So one of these days, maybe I'll get some sort of a vacation property down there or something. I don't know. I'll timeshare with Justin and get the back room. Back alley at Justin's house. And
there you go.
Set up a little tent next to the trash. Just kidding. Sit a back alley. But anyway, so thanks for coming on the show. And I know you got several different things that you do in your practice. But before we get into that, tell us a little bit about what got you into coaching and what were some of your influences and motivations to get where you're at today.
Sure. It started many years ago. I'm a counselor licensed in a few different states. And through the years, what I found was there was a lot of folks that I was working with that really wanted a shorter approach and wanted to work with me in spaces that being a therapist wouldn't just let me work with them in, especially when it came to work and career issues and building their own businesses. And so I got more into the coaching aspect, and people were asking for those services more than therapy. And so that evolved for me over the years, and I found it really helpful with specific people with a life coaching approach versus a therapy approach. And a lot of my techniques are similar, but there's definitely those differences. And it's really evolved from the needs of the clients that I've worked with over the years.
Okay. Well, now you have several specialties. How did you arrive at those?
Well, especially with sex therapy and relationships, those are the two biggest areas when it comes to a clinical or coaching, especially when I work with folks. And with the sex therapy aspect, I was working with so many individuals and couples that were just really struggling to deal with intimacy issues they were facing, as well as individuals in the LGBTQIA+ community that were dealing with healthcare-related needs. And so listening to through their stories and what their need was, I decided, hey, I need some more specialty in this. I need more training in this. And especially when it involves relationships and people managing their relationships. And the difference with that coaching aspect is that let me focus really on, you know, getting the results, short-term, problem-focused, and getting on what they need in a quicker way than therapy at times would allow. And through sexual health as well as through relationships, that's let me evolve as a coach.
How do you think, I know I'm also a counselor and had to make that transition mm-hmm. for you. How would you compare and contrast? How are the fields different between coaching and counseling? Because some people will kind of want to merge those two or be tempted to do that. So kind of tell our listeners how you differentiate that, but you know, counseling versus coaching and the work with your clients.
Sure. So listening first off about what that client needs in space before we even start, what are you looking for exactly? What do you feel like you're needing? And if it's something where they're focusing on, you know, past hurt, they've got some things going on where they may need some type of intense care that may be trauma focused, that may be diagnosis focused, where they have a need that they want really intense or thorough therapy versus, hey, this adjustment's happening in my life. I need some problem solving. Let's get in there and get it done and help with that accountability. I'm asking them in that pre-interview of what they're looking for and helping them figure out like the recommendation for therapy versus coaching. And if even if it's a good fit for me or if I need to connect them with another coach or therapist, really depending on that need. And for me, especially the therapist that's licensed, really need to make sure I protect my license and I'm not working outside of the scope that I'm supposed to. And coaching does allow me to work with individuals that may not approach for therapy or may not be appropriate for therapy, and lets me work with them, especially from that virtual space. About 85% of my business is virtual. I have an in-office coaching therapy practice, but I only spend a couple hours there a week, and the rest is done virtually, which allows me to work with more people as well as work around their schedule a little bit better than they'd be able to make it to the office.
Okay. Well, that's right. And it gives you, sounds like as a coach, you have more freedom. You don't have ethics boards, mm-hmm. or you can't, right. You don't have to worry about telemedicine restrictions. You don't have to, you can meet your clients, right, in different places, but also maybe, you know, would you agree that's more, I think sometimes when we're in that counseling, even though in the counseling frame, that sounds positive, we're still looking at psychopathology, right? We're still dealing with what's wrong with maybe, you know, letting the client be in charge of the experience. You have any thoughts on that?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. That's definitely that approach. And coaching allows that flexibility for that power dynamic, right, to get a little bit more even. They're that person going in saying, here, you know, I am, you know, the person in this space trying to get the answers and empowering them versus trying to find what's wrong with them. And not that anybody, you know, wants to look and see what's wrong with them, but from that coaching perspective, it allows for more empowerment and flexibility. And I think that's what's really positive in allowing, I think it's allowing more people to get help out there that wouldn't be able to get it through a traditional therapy sense, or wouldn't even be appropriate for a therapy sense. So that's where the coaches are so great to come through and be able to deliver that service.
Exactly. Well, let's kind of jump into one of your service lines that we talked about a little bit before the show. And I don't know what to call it. Is it sex coaching, sex? Mm-hmm. What do you call it? What is that service? I don't want. Well, I'm tempted to say sex therapy, but I don't want to say sex therapy if it's not, you know,
if it's not therapy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially from the coach and sex coaching aspect, there's a lot of education around that. Where I do a lot of time myth busting, providing answers, and really doing a lot of answers for questions that people don't feel comfortable answering or get asking out there, and talking about what dynamics might look like for that individual within relationships, and very much drawing that line between that and therapy. And from that space, people feel a little bit more comfortable looking at it from this coaching, because when we coach, we help support. We empower and we engage on this action-oriented stuff. And that's the type of activities and topics that I get to discuss with them in sex coaching and education.
Exactly. So in that sex education type of space, what are some of the more common, if you will, things that your clients are asking you to assist them with?
Well, a lot of times it may be not knowing how to bring up topics as with a health provider or with their partner. They don't know if something's normal or not normal, or just the basics of, I don't know how to experience orgasm. What is that? Or my partner isn't turned on by me, or we've got this problem going on. And it's very much an education, because people don't understand that basic sex ed information. They don't get that taught along the year. So I do a lot of information around that, and really differentiating, does something go into the therapy route versus the coaching route? And it really depends on their individual. And if it's a dysfunction type thing and we're going to more sex therapy stuff, that would be something different. But it's a lot of education around the topic and communication skills, and empowering them to bring up information. Maybe they're going to see their primary care doctor or their urologist, how they approach that doctor to bring up their concerns, and kind of coaching them along the way to do that and empower them to do that.
So is a lot of your work in that space more didactic and teaching, or is it still, you do some experiential type of work as well, or how does that?
It's both, really, depending on the situation. There's a lot of teaching, education, and connection with resources, but then there's also giving those activities and trying to help them explore, hey, what would it be like if you tried this? What would it look like in your world if you did this? What is the concern and fear behind this? And really keeping it focused on what their main goal is and what they want to get out of that experience.
Okay. How How do you, I know you have a website and some other stuff. How, you know, how do clients find, I mean, find you? Is that through, did you team up with some physician type referrals, or they're just finding you straight out of the internet, or how were you able to cultivate, a client base for that kind of, for those kind of issues?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, especially people that are just starting out their coaching practice and trying to figure this out as well. I know it's helpful to know that most people starting out, it takes a while to kind of cultivate those referrals. And just due to the experience in my work out there online, a lot of people find me, just come stumble upon me when they're looking in the area. But a lot of it comes from working with gynecologists, working with urologists, primary care doctors, cardiologists, just sharing with them about what I specifically do and how I could help clients. That's definitely helped. Another thing that's really helpful is for people to go out and do education seminars, do workshops, get online and do a webinar. The more you're able to put yourself out there, the more you're able to kind of build up your expertise in the area. And I found that really helpful in that space, especially in the virtual space.
So you did those things in terms of webinars and mm-hmm. and other types of social media or media accessible by the internet?
Yes, I did those just for my own business to promote it in that space, and then other businesses who may need a speaker or may need a trainer. You know, they've worked with me and asked me to get on and do a webinar for them. And, you know, that may be, it may be a space where I do that as a gift. Like, I want to come on and help and support you, and we maybe even co-partner. They may come on and support me in some way. Or I know that they're, you know, sending me referrals and they're helping me, you know, spread my message, and, you know, I'm more than happy to help out in that way. And I think that's something coaches really need to think about, is how you can serve others, which is going to help, you know, bring folks back into your own practice.
Right. Right. And that's really interesting, because, you know, since you've made the move from East Coast to West Coast, I know you've been in mm-hmm. your present location for 3 years. You must, you know, for you to be having a steady client base, you must have been, you know, doing a fair share, like you said, of putting yourself out there to sustain a practice. So, you know, it sounds like you're very aware of the business aspect of this, not only just the coaching aspect.
Oh yeah, I definitely am very pro business space, because I've had my practice 7 years now, and it's been virtual 6 years, meaning I've been doing, you know, virtual coaching and therapy work for the past 6 years as well. And so for me, the business aspect is so important. It was the area that I didn't learn going, you know, through school and different things, so I kind of teach it on my own. And that's one of the things I really enjoy doing, is helping therapists and coach build their business, especially from the virtual aspect, because we all want to be more mobile and flexible with our time. And the business part is very important. And I think, especially, you know, with coaching, you got a heart of service, right? I want to help people be their best and grow into their best self. But if we don't understand the business, it doesn't matter how much you want to help if you can't hold it together to sustain yourself financially to keep helping. So there's those business basics that we don't do a good enough job learning those. And that's one thing that I'm very passionate about.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like some of your service lines kind of are resonating with what you're just saying right now, building, you know, business coaching practices, business coaching packages, building your virtual practice, and making your practice profitable, and those things. So it sounds like you actually train coaches and clinicians to help build their practice as well.
Yeah, I don't want anybody to have to do what I did, which I just kind of put it together as I was going along. And so I'm all about, what can I do quicker and faster, and you know, get things to where you don't have to spin your wheels. And I had to do a lot of learning when I was putting the business together. And so I just kind of found the shortcuts, and there's no need that I have to keep those to myself. The more people that are confident out there serving other people that need help, the better. And I think that's one of the things that we don't talk about a lot of times as coaches and therapists, are this idea that there's competition, right? There's a set number of clients that need coaching services. Heck no, there's not. There's so many people that need help. And the biggest advice I can give for coaches is find an area, especially, that you kind of want to focus and hone in on to make your area And it will definitely, you will find the clients there wanting your services. And a lot of times it's how you set up the business to be able to receive that and to scale it to grow.
Well, that's refreshing to hear. You know, I know there's a lot of coaches that get into coaching for coaching, but they really don't, they're not very business minded. And it sounds like you've really incorporated that, like you said, that's in your business. Now you have your own podcast of sorts, or how does that work?
Yeah, I do. I have a Fix Yourself First with Dr. Christie, and that evolved. I put a book out a couple of years ago, Fix Yourself First, 25 Tips to Stop Ruining Your Relationships. And that was for all the women out there like me who've done different things to ruin relationships in the past. And so I took these 25 tips and tell you what to stop doing and what to do instead. And as that's evolved over the years, I realized that I could serve more people in general by a podcast, which is so great about y'all's show, is that you reach so many people and you get to share your messages every week. And that was really important to me. And so I started that out at the beginning of this year, and it's been a lot of fun.
Well, good. That's so sounds like, and is it still going? I mean, are you still doing the podcast?
I am. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, that's really good. So you'll be able to hear yourself and us on Apple Podcasts, just to name a few. So I really like that. You've really kind of done it. You have the blog, the podcast, different service lines. Mm-hmm. So with all that you've developed this comprehensive practice. So what are some of the more, favorite aspects of your, is there a particular type of coaching that you like, or what are some of the top two or three things about your coaching practice that you just love and it just charges your battery and, you know, makes you so excited?
Well, one of the things that I get the most excited about is working with other coaches, just because you can, you know, ideas when you're working with somebody and they just get it and they get that aha moment when they figure something out on their own, which is what this is about. Helping that and seeing people grow their business. I'm really passionate about that because I know what it's like to be stuck and not know how to move forward or lose money and try to figure out where it's going to come from. I'm just very passionate about that. One of the other areas that I really love about the coaching business is not having the rules that I can just reach out and support people and help people and not be confined by things that therapists are confined by, such as a license and state type thing. So knowing, you know, when to work with a person, know when to sit with somebody else, you know, that's a lot of fun to me, is figuring out that right fit and seeing people accomplish their goals. Some of the things that's very common that is important to me with both coaching and therapy that I think is aligned is, you know, using those tools and focused on problem solving. And, you know, I have people that they may come in, you know, sit down for or get online for a therapy session and they want to, you know, go into some deep things, and I'm like, and I tell them, hey, I'm all about that, but look, what do you want to get from this session? What do you need from today? Where are we at with goal setting and problem solving? And so I keep that really as kind of that backbone of my practice, because I think that's what works. That's what works best for me and what I think works for most people, versus getting lost in all this, you know, going through all this past stuff, really just focusing on what the problem is and how you're going to work through and get it taken care of.
That's right. That's being actually more mindful, you know, right here, right now, and moving forward versus trying to go back and unnecessary, you know, rehashing stuff and whatnot. So I think that's a great approach. I know one of your areas is dealing with transgender issues, and I stumbled on that, on your transgender dignity model. Man, could you share a little bit about that and what that entails?
Sure. I started working with the LGBTQIA+ community about 13 years ago at my first job. And what I noticed at that time is those folks were, I mean, of course, they were marginalized in what was happening, but there wasn't a lot of training out there for people like me and doctors and different people working with the community. And what I started seeing at that time was this need to get some education and training together, because there were so many transgender non-binary folks that were coming in for services, coaching, therapy, medical services, and providers just were not feeling confident or really comfortable working with the community. And So at that time, I started figuring out what training needs were there. And through the years, it evolved to where I developed this dignity model approach, which means we treat every single individual with dignity. And this is an educational 8-unit model that teaches anybody that's in the behavioral health or medical field how to serve transgender non-binary clients from a place of dignity, and really covers those basics and helps them feel more comfortable in working with the clients. And that's a 4-hour training. I do it in person sometimes, but I do it mostly virtually online. And so it's just really helped give another aspect of my business, but then also give people the opportunity to become a dignity model certified provider, which means they've completed the training as well as they've completed the certification, the post-test. And it shows the public that these providers, these coaches and therapists and doctors have been trained by me, who is an expert in the field of transgender health care. And not just has it helped my practice, but it's also helped get more education out there, which is really the most important thing. And so that's been really interesting to evolve as a within my business, because I have such a big heart for service, but I also have to stay business minded as well, because if I can't make it work, then I can't keep serving. So it's really important as coaches that we, you know, we keep our heart of service open, but we also treat it as a business, because that's what it is. That is, if we want to continue working for ourselves and not work for somebody else.
Right. So you're kind of the author of that transgender healthcare certification, or was that another body that your class is an approved, the dignity model is part of that, is its own, or the whole thing is yours?
Sure. It's all my work, and the dignity model certified provider is the certification aspect of the dignity model. So some individuals will do the training and they don't want to become certified. But those people that do want to do certification, they undergo a couple of things after the training. And then I give them a year support. We do weekly office hour calls. I'm sorry, monthly office hour calls, support resources. They're listed on the website. So they get extra education to show that they're competent providers.
That's good. That's a, like you said, that's a service line that is in great need. And you're able to do that. I like it. It's a didactic, right? 4-hour,
yeah.
At least the front end of it is a didactic. And that's available online, or how do folks?
Yes, it's online. I have it listed on my website and on dignitymodel.com site. But I think it's interesting, too, that coaches know that there aren't limitations to what you can offer. If you have something, you want to have a certification program, if you want to scale your business, there's so many options out there where you can serve and still make it a part of your business.
Yeah, I like that. Justin, we need to be certified, man. We got to be certified. we're certified California.
That's right.
Co-hosts. We're certified California coaching co-hosts. And
that's right.
And I think that's a much needed area, but also very masterfully done and put together. So, man, that, you know, you've really taken the, like you said, taking your practice to the highest level. You know what I mean? You know, podcast is on just about every platform, and, you know, you got your own certification, you're working with clinicians, you're working with clients with different issues. Sounds like, and you're pretty much on your own, right? It's not like you have a fleet of sub Christie's working for you, right? Or anything like that. It's pretty much.
No, I don't. I did have one in Jacksonville in the practice I was building there at the time. I did have a therapist that was working with me. And I just decided going forward that having any type of group practice wouldn't be the best approach for me to scale virtually. And so I think it's just the business model that I adapted, because there's a lot of coaches too that want to know, hey, can I bring in other coaches? Should I build my business that way? And that's a really an individual question that's definitely worth exploring. For me, my ultimate goal is to continue to serve, but I want to be able to sit. I want to be able to sit in Waikiki, and if I want to do therapy or coaching, you know, have that virtual service, but then go out to surf when I want to. I don't want to be tied to an office setting. I like to travel, so it's paid off well.
That's great. I mean, I've kind of, I think I might need your help. I might need your help. I might have to enlist your help, coach. Honestly, cause, you know, again, coming from the counseling background, office practice background, got into coaching and then was starting to see these kind of very high touch, kind of C-suite, high net worth engagements, right? And now it could be with them because they didn't really like virtual, you know what I mean? They had to be there. Man, since particularly 2017 and on, I've been flying a lot, you know what I mean? And going on site. And so I'm trying to think of some creative ways to get some of these folks to kind of get by with a virtual or a Skype or a whatever platform. But it's that's been a little bit of a challenge for me. And of course, you know, for me to get on that plane, you know, it's there's an upcharge for that, obviously, right? And expenses and all that. And man, they shell it out. So I'm kind of, I fell into something called the founder's trap, founding this podcast. But that's another show. But anyway, so I mean, did you have any similar? I guess there had to have been an inflection point or a transition point where you just said, "Doggone it, I'm not." You know, I'm gonna. And I would too, sister. If I was living in Laguna Beach or wherever, Huntington Beach, you know, I'd be like, "That's it. I'm done." You know what I'm saying? I'm not getting on another plane unless it's a bazillion dollars. I hear you. And to have that kind of structure is great. But did you, other than that, I mean, what kinds of mental things did you go through or mindsets or just kind of did it? You just made a command decision like, nope, you know, I'm going to do this, whatever, 80% virtual or whatever your ratio is. Did you have to get to some sort of a process to get to that point, basically?
Yeah, it definitely had to encounter some fear about putting those hours in a actual office and having to say no to clients who are wanting to get in and wanting coaching and there, knowing that it's okay to say no at times to give opportunity to create opportunities to scale. And definitely being from the South, I mean, a lot of us are people pleasers. Like, we don't want to say no. We want to help everybody. So really, with my own self, putting boundaries in that and knowing when to say when. And the other part is I do enjoy the travel aspect. I'm the same way with corporations, organizations. I do a lot of speaking. And so I fly all over the world doing that. But what helps with the virtual aspect is if I'm there on site wherever speaking, I also have the opportunity to be back in that hotel room that morning, that night, or the next day, seeing coaching clients virtually, right? So I'm not just working and doing some consulting or speaking. I'm also having the option to, even though I'm going to be out of the office, I can still see folks virtually. And my rates for office and virtual are the same as far as for coaching and therapy. It's the same rate. I don't do a change because of the platform. It's still my hour. And then the other part of it was, what's that?
That's nice. That's nice. It's still my hour. I like that. It's still my hour.
It is.
It's still my hour. Okay.
And that's where we have to value ourselves, right?
And we do. Yes. I just need to get my live hours in the office the same as my travel hours, Christine. I'm gonna be just fine. Okay.
There's got to be some ways we can move you some of that traveling. So, like you said, if they put you on a plane, the rate's going to go up. You got to get paid for it. I'm the same way. I don't mind getting on a plane. You're going to pay me, I will go work because I love to work. Yeah. But I've got to make sure I'm also doing what I need to do from the space of keeping my practice going as well as scaling. I'm not working on what's coming out this year. I'm trying to work on what's coming out next year and getting stuff ready to launch and programs.
So I'll get Justin back in here. Justin, now a lot of your stuff, I mean, You're kind of in the live mode right now. My feeling is, right, because a lot of your work with Vablet and other projects is kind of right. Like
it's basically. Yeah, it's no a lot of it's no different than, like, you know, if you're at Accenture, you know, whatnot, and live and on site with your client. That's most or a lot of my work right now. But I hear you, Christy, you know, developing that strategy to have remote touch points. I mean, we still leverage technology, don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. And when I'm on the road, you know, we can touch base, you know, virtually use Zoom or other platforms out there. But it's just interesting how you phrase that, you know, it's still your time, it's still your hour. I like that.
I know, right? It's still my hour. Yeah, I like that. Now, Chris, you talk about, I heard you say scaling. So that sounds like something that you're really cognizant of. It's always in the back of your mind about scale. So what, when you're talking about that, what are the contexts of scaling as it applies to your practice?
I see it as, how do I grow my business not based on the hour? Meaning I can only do so many coaching and therapy sessions per hour per day. And I can only do that for a certain period of time. I mean, y'all know how it is working with folks in general. We get a little crispy, right? We can't sit there 4 hours a week and work hour to hour with somebody. I mean, it just doesn't work that way. So how do we grow our business and not dependent upon that hour client? How do we grow our business and say, what can I do with less time and make more money at? That's what the focus has to be. How can I leverage my time and get the most out of that time? And that's been a really important thing, because if I'm going to scale my business, scaling my business means different things to different people. But for me, it means, how do I get to where I want to revenue-wise, so I can do the things that I enjoy with my quality of life while also continuing getting active and passive streams of revenue coming in. And excellent. I think that's one of the biggest things that people face, is they're kind of stuck in that coaching hour to hour. But if you got to look at, like you said, service lines and products that continue bringing in revenue, whether you're sleeping or whatever.
Okay, so you're working smarter, not harder, and then just really looking at a time analysis as well on your service lines, and then keeping some service lines that will provide a revenue stream, whether you're sleeping or awake, or you're not having to be present.
Right. That balance of active and passive revenue streams is very important.
Yeah, no, it sounds like you've kind of mastered just about everything, that I'm seeing, a practitioner, minus jumping on an Elon Musk space shuttle and doing stuff. Doing stuff in space or something. I was like, man, I'm just trying to think of it. What do you see as emerging trends, you think, in terms of service delivery or coaching in general? Do you have any kind of futuristic, things about how the service delivery might change, or
I think this is more virtual based, more not having to be present there in the place, space based stuff, and incorporating more of the group approach, figuring out how to work with more clients from that group program aspect versus having to be there in person and doing work. I think, that's going to continue to grow. And I think it's important for people to really look at leveraging their time, because it's important to work and work hard, but you also got to enjoy your quality of life, because, we can't wait until, it's time for retirement to enjoy life, because our health might not be as good as it is now at that time. And so just finding that balance can be really difficult for people. So that's why you have to start immediately thinking about how you're going to scale.
Yeah. I like what you're saying. Like, you could have some sort of program, and then it would be X dollars if you did it individually, but if you did it in a group format, it would be, greatly reduced, because then you would just, divide by that. So, and then you got to get that group size, probably, I don't know, depending on what it is, but not much more than 10, right? So you have your time per person per group aspect. And so I used to procure units of group and individual therapy for the federal prison systems back in the day, man. And
about groups.
Yeah, I know about it. Yeah, from urban Yalom all the way down, man. It's something else, but kind of an old school guy with that. But that's interesting, though, right? Like you said, that a group approach, you wouldn't think that. Well, I mean, Justin does a lot of group types of coaching things in the business space, and my stuff comes from honestly more psychopathology type of stuff, and trying to make foul balls fly straight. It's just a little bit on the personal side of the house. I don't think the bulk of my clients, I don't think group would work, just because of the nature of the content matter. But I hear what you're saying. So, and Justin, you do a lot of group stuff now, right? For the most part, particularly with the sales folks?
Yeah, group training, group workshops, sales workshops, channel workshops. Yeah, it's typically groups of 5 to 10, no more than, you know, certainly like 15, right? It's got to be manageable numbers, unless I bring some of my team members with me, and then we can obviously do subgroups, but it's typically that type of format. Lots of in-person exercises and reinforcement activities and whatnot.
Right. And that's all face-to-face though, right, Justin?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, the whole, you know, kind of doing that virtual group, that's an interesting, play. Christy, are you doing something like that? Or are you thinking that coaches will do stuff like that?
I do stuff like that now, but I think it's a great opportunity for coaches to expand. Just briefly, what I do with a couple different areas that I do for coaching. I do mastermind group each year for coaches and therapists and educators who are trying to grow their private practice. From a group perspective, we work in that mastermind group. But the other thing that I found, and a lot of hospitals and organizations have been open to, they don't want to maybe pay to bring me on site for my rate. So I'll get on virtually and do a little bit of a reduced rate for not travel, but then they will put different classes together and put into a large conference room or a rec room. And I can have up to 30 to 40 people, and I'll teach a class virtually to people and in different classes. So some people may be able to get the first class, second class, third class. And so I'm training and teaching that way. And the people are saving on their travel costs. I'm charging the same rate, but they don't have to pay for my travel. And depending on the location of the place, that's become really good for organizations. They're seeing this as a way to save some of that money. So I've been surprised at how many people are open to that. I think we're going to see more and more of that.
Oh, yeah.
For coaches, there's an opportunity to say, what type of clients are you enjoying? Is it a business to consumer? Is it business to business? And can you do a group approach? But can you also look at doing any type of groups, like a virtual support group, where you're doing a service as almost a funnel bringing in your clients? Right? Can you give some type of free group that's maybe an hour a month where you're doing some education that people are attending virtually from their phone or through video, and that's a funnel for you to get new clients as well. And that's an opportunity that a lot of people don't do, which is not too hard.
Right. Yeah, I know there's an outfit that does some sober coaching and recovery coaching type support through Alexa. and you tell Alexa this command, and this proprietary thing comes up, you know. You have to pay for it, and the guy can talk to his Alexa while he's, you know, fiending for whatever, a shot of dope or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you can't not have to go to an NA meeting, not to do whatever. They can, you know, kind of get it on demand. So that's pretty. I thought that was pretty interesting, and I can see that. But now that you're talking about it, sounds like a lot of that work is didactic. You're teaching a class on X or a class on Y, and but like you said, it could be a support group where. It's interaction, but yeah, for some of those corporate things that where you're teaching a specific class, that's like you said, for hospitals or larger institutions, that could be a really, you know, satisfying, profitable way to spend your hours. So,
it saves them money and it saves you travel. I'm going to be out a day or two if I'm traveling, and you know, definitely out one night depending on the East Coast or where, but. If they cut out the travel, have that bit of a reduced rate due to not paying travel, I'm still making my hour, but then I'm also able to do other work versus putting all this time in the airport and everywhere else. So it's really a win-win. I think we'll see more and more of that because there's going to be more competition for people looking to score those views.
Yeah. I think there is. So, you know, you've really kind of, you know, you're kind of the portrait of a coach. That's really, done it right with the business model. You know, I mean, there's a lot of coaches out there, and some are deemed themselves successful and some are kind of struggling, but by gosh, you really, you know, sounds like you have done the work. I mean, for 7 years, you know, if that's been your total year count, you really, I mean, even for seven, you've done a lot in those 7 years.
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun, and, you know, I don't like the same hour twice, and I like to work and I like to play, and it lets me do both.
Well, it sounds like sounds like you've really, you know, hit the ground, hit the ground hard there, and able to kind of do that and have your work life balance versus a work life fit, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's good. Now, and real, going back to the transgender work and the LGBTQI and others, like how did you kind of get into that area? Did you identify that as a service need, or you had some other, you know, other experiences that led you to want to, you know, be a part of service delivery for that segment? How did you get into that?
Well, it really was that first job out of my master's program, starting at the drug and alcohol rehab facility back in Jacksonville and getting to work with that community coming in for services and seeing their need. And a lot of their things they were going through were not getting really focused on, and they were dealing with a whole dual stigma of not just being a part of the LGBTQIA plus community, but also trying to get in recovery. And at that time, I saw the need that these folks need some specialized care just because they're having to deal with society and what discrimination and a very real fear of violence and losing jobs and things just because of who they were. And at that time, I thought this is what my voice is for. I need to make sure I do all I can to help this community. And I have a platform for it and a heart of service. So it just lined up, and I've been doing that work for the community now for 13 years. And it's just been really incredible to get to be within the community and serve them and hear their stories and really grow as an individual through that.
So it sounds like you have a gender identity support group, but then you have another support group for the partners and family members. How kind of compare and contrast those two? Like how is the parent partner group different? How are some of the themes a little bit different in those two groups?
Well, and that we're doing a lot of education. Right. And this is a peer support group. This is a free group I do 4 a month, two for people exploring gender identity and two for parent, partner, family, friends. And we jump online for an hour each month. And anyone can, they're not just my clients, people from all over the world. And for the parent, partner, family, we talk about what they're experiencing, what they're going through. They're there to support one another, too. So, you know, I facilitate the group, but a lot of the power comes from the individuals within that group and their own experiences and helping one another. And then the gender identity group is one where people openly talk about what they're dealing with themselves, with relationships, with jobs, with family, and they bring up different topics. And we just have just laid back discussions in all of those groups. And I've been running that group well over 4 years now. It was in person. And then when I relocated, I moved it online. So it's been actually almost 5 years now. It's been really great to keep me fresh with what's happening, with what people are dealing with, and it lets me give back to the community. And since that's a free support group, I'll never charge for those groups, and I'm going to have them as long as I can, because it's important for me to kind of do that pro bono work and give back.
Well, that's fantastic. That's fantastic that you're able to do that, and that's a free offering that you have there. So I thought that was really good that you did those groups, and it's like you said, there's no geographic boundaries for those groups because they're virtual, and obviously the price point is good. And man, I just I think that's great, because I think that's an underserved area. That is a way underserved area, and just not any old schmo can get into that. You know what I mean? You really got to know what you're doing.
And,
Oh yeah. I have all, you know, that's a very specialized area. So I'm glad that you're there, and I'm glad that you're offering services to those folks. Well, we're about 2 minutes from the end of the show today. Christy, man, thanks for coming on the show and sharing a little bit about yourself. You just got so much going on and so much to offer your clients and such a comprehensive practice. So thank you so much for coming on to the show today. Can you tell our listeners how folks can reach you, and also, you know, your podcast as well? And what are some of your touch points that folks can find you?
sure the quickest way is to just go to my website, ChristyEverstreet.com. I'm on Instagram, Facebook, and I'm very easy to access there. Shoot me a message. And I'm online, pretty simple to find. And Bruce and Justin, I appreciate y'all having me on and allow me to come on and talk with y'all about the work that I'm doing. And thank y'all for the service y'all are giving out there to the coaching community. And y'all are a great light of support there. So I appreciate y'all.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you. Yes, we're glad. I think you and I actually connected on Instagram in the beginning. So I'm glad we had that platform in common, and we're able to go back and forth with that. Because otherwise, I would have never met you. So whatever, you know, it's just
some of the good parts of social media.
It is a great part. You know, I'm just working and living behind the rock here in Texas. So that's about it. But anyway, well, again, thanks for coming on, and folks, thanks for tuning in to our show today, and keep tuning in the future. We're gonna have more exciting guests and more exciting topics for us to cover in the coaching space. So with that said, have a blessed week, and we'll see everybody here on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care and have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.